Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. We're heading into the middle of May, and you're starting to get a feel for your team. Your hitting sucks, and your pitching is awesome, or vice versa. So how do you figure out how to balance your roster and what moves to make for the rest of the season? You keep listening to the Razzball Podcast. That's how. I'd like to say thank you for joining us this year. In fact, next time you're in Toronto, come on over. I'll buy you a beer. Speaking of which, how do we not have a beer sponsor on this show? Can someone get on that? You should also be going to Razzball.com daily. If you're not, don't come crying to us at the end of the season when you lose your league, okay? Gray's tired of wiping away your tears. Speaking of which, how do we not have a tissue sponsor on this show with Jay Wrong on all the time? But want a real cheat sheet? Then interact with us by following me on Twitter at Nick Capozzi, N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I, and get all your questions answered by the pros. Warning, I am not a pro. When I say pro, I mean, you know, Gray and Rudy. Okay, so today we're going to be joined by John Wertheim of Sports Illustrated. And since he's arguably the smartest person we've ever had on this show, it's also going to be one of the most interesting conversations we've ever had. We'll also take a look at how I'm doing in the Razzball Champions League, a place I have no right to be, and see how I'm getting my ass kicked. Speaking of ass kicking, you should be taking on Rudy in the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest over at DraftKings.com every Friday night. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. They may be pros, but they're above average intelligence at best. Actually, Kyle, cut that out. They haven't sent me my check yet. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of May 7th. Here we go. Podcast. It's a pleasure now to be joined from Sports Illustrated with John Wertheim. You can follow him on Twitter at John, J-O-N underscore Wertheim, W-E-R-T-H-E-I-M on Twitter. John, thanks for joining us today on the Razzball Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
John, the question that everyone at Razzball tweeted me today and wanted to know about is how does someone who went to Yale and got a law degree from Penn wind up as a sports writer?
Oh, geez. That's career crisis. It's been a lot of fun. The story I always tell is I sort of came right at the right time. It was sort of after OJ and Mike Tyson and Sports Illustrated realized that this intersection between sports and the law was going to be increasingly busy.
Right.
So in the late night, an internship, and I realized pretty soon, early on, I wasn't cut out for life working 80 hours a week in a law firm, and I'd much rather cover sports. And I got an internship in law school and been here ever since.
Now, you co-authored a book that every thinking sports fan should read called Scorecasting. It's been called Freakonomics Meets Moneyball. What was the inspiration for the book?
That's a good question. A friend of mine, like boyhood friend growing up, is an economist at the University of Chicago, and he's colleagues with Steve Levitt, who wrote Freakonomics, and we were talking once. He came into New York, and we had lunch. We said, yeah, we should do one of these for sports. There are all this sort of sports and behavioral economics overlap. So he was the academic, and I was the sports guy, and we, you know, again, this is great fun working with an old childhood friend, and we had a good time with it.
Now, one of the most interesting takeaways that I got from it was that, and this, I think, ties in with the our audience, which of course is very number driven, a hitter hitting 299 is rarer and more valuable than a 300 hitter. You got to break that down for us.
Oh yeah. That's funny. I haven't talked to this in a while. No, we set the artificial benchmarks, right? The same way we buy the Coke when it's 99 cents and walk away when it's a dollar. And basically what we found is that hitting 300 means a huge amount, both to baseball players and to GMs and to executives. So they draw this line. It's fairly artificial. I mean, you have 600 at-bats, and the difference between 299 and 300 is pretty negligible. But baseball players will try like crazy to hit that 300 mark. So if guys hitting 299 in their last at-bat in the season, not a single one has walked. They've all whacked away trying to get that last hit to clear 300. And there's a huge spike. I mean, if you chart salaries on a graph, there's a sizable spike between 299 and 300. And so what we found is that you know, realistically, in practice, materially, 299 versus 300 is the negligible difference. And yet there's this remarkable spike in salary over this fairly artificial benchmark. So if you're better off paying much less for the guy hitting 299 and giving away one seeing eye base hit a year, than you know, paying a premium more just for that one or two extra hits.
That makes a lot of sense. Let me throw you one more question about the book, Scorecasting, which of course you can get at Amazon.com. You also mentioned that games are longer when the home team is losing. Why is that?
Well, one of the things we looked at was this home field, home team advantage, home ice, home court, the home advantage in sports, and found out that this is not a myth. This really exists, and it's existed throughout time, and it's been consistent by sport. For most sports, there's not been a single season when the road team has won more games cumulatively than the home team, and we sort of went out about trying to figure out, well, why is that? And is it because teams are more comfortable? Yeah, but we couldn't really find much to support that. Is it, do players play better when they're home and sleeping in their own beds? Well, that didn't really seem to be the case. It wasn't as though they played better or worse, or had their percentages went down when they had to travel a great distance. You know, when games, for example, the Jets play the Giants or the Ravens play the Redskins, everyone sleeps in their own bed. It's not as though performance is any different than when teams have to travel across the country. And what we finally found, looking at a number of explanations, was that the reason for this home advantage is mostly because of the officials. And they're impacted by crowds, and they're impacted by, we think, at some level, the business justification of the home team wins, the customer goes home happy.
Right.
And one offshoot of that is that, you know, the calls, whether it's, you know, traveling calls in the NBA or, you know, plays at the plate in baseball, the calls tend to go in favor of the home team. So it seems the refs will do, and this is not corruption. I mean, this is just kind of basic
human nature,
human behavioral patterns. Yeah, human nature, exactly. You've got 40,000 people who are going to boo you if you call it one way and cheer you if you call it the other. You got 40,000 people who you have to make the split-second decision. They're telling you what to do. And what we found is that, you know, referees and officials are affected by this. In every sport, the calls favor the home team, and that includes things like, extra time in soccer, for example, where it would have the effect of lengthening the game.
Now, you wrote a fantastic article last week on Sports Illustrated about Jason Collins. My question is, if you could write a biography on any current professional, let me start with major leaguer, who would it be? Who do you think is the most interesting guy out there that you'd like to write about?
Oh, man, Major League Baseball player, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good question. I still think there are layers. It depends. Are they cooperating and taking truth serum?
Yeah, let's pretend they are.
If Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter, if some of these guys who are famously opaque would really open up. Alex Rodriguez continues to fascinate me, mostly because after almost 20 years, he's as mysterious and mystifying and frustrating as ever. If he actually finally said, look, I'm ready to tell my story, no holds barred, that's a book I'd like to read, and that's a book I'd like to write.
Oh, I'd love to read it too, absolutely. Now, you've covered a lot of sports for SI, including tennis, basketball, and mixed martial arts. Who's the most interesting athlete you've ever been around?
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Because I'm bringing the international in here, because, you know, we're based out of Canada for the podcast, so I had to do that, John.
That's good. I'll go, and he makes an annual appearance in Canada. I'll go Roger Federer.
There you go.
Who is absolutely brilliant as an athlete, I mean, peerless as an athlete, and quite apart from there being no dark side, everything you hear about him is pretty much true. I mean, he is as antithetical to Tiger Woods as you could ever imagine, and apart from just being a good, friendly, decent guy, I've always thought it's remarkable that he just doesn't have this killer instinct. I mean, he's not an assassin. I still don't think he's particularly mentally tough. He doesn't come to battle. He's friends with other players, and he still can figure out a way to win like he does. I mean, to be as high caliber, I mean, greatest of all time, and to basically have the, you know, disposition and then metaphysical makeup of you and I think is really remarkable.
It's that Swiss neutrality, I guess.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. He's non-confrontational like Switzerland.
All right, I got a last question for you here, John. I admit this is an extremely unlikely scenario, but let's say the following matches are all happening at the exact same time. Would you rather watch Strasburg versus Kershaw, Nadal versus Federer, or George St. Pierre versus Anderson Silva?
Oh, man. That's another good one. I got to say GSP Silva. The others you may be able to watch another time. GSP Silva is one time only. And I got to say, I don't know if you're an MMA guy, but no sporting event that I watch live is as exhilarating as a UFC fight.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, actually, in a very amateur way, I actually do a lot of mixed martial arts, and there is something just very primal about it. So I can absolutely appreciate your point of view on that. John, I really appreciate you joining us today. It was a special treat for our fans over at Razzball. Again, we can follow you at John_Wertheim on Twitter. It was great having you on. Thanks, John.
Hey, thanks. It was fun.
RCL Champions League.
Kyle, this is my segment, all about me, and I'm doing it by myself, so give me some beats. Okay, so we're here to deal with the Razzball Champions League. Basically, what they did was Gray and Rudy took the 11 highest scoring guys from last year's Razzball Commentators League, created a league, and threw me in. I think Gray and Rudy did it to watch me wither in pain. So you're probably wondering how bad I'm losing in this league. And you know what's really funny? I'm actually in second place, so it must be really early in the year. Gray thought I was way too pitching heavy, but I've definitely been led by Strasburg, Yu Darvish, and Matt Moore. That rotation, as well as some steady hitting by Votto, Austin Jackson, and Hunter Pence, has kept me really strong. But baby, do I need saves. Can someone make a deal with me, please? In fact, I'm ready to pay for them. I might have to deal one of my aces right now to try and get a couple of Sagnoffs. Okay, so I'm off to a good start in the league. But how am I doing in the Razzball Riders League, you might be wondering. Let's just say, not as good. So what we did here is, a lot of the regular commentators you get on the podcast and our writers came on, we put a 12-team league together, and I'm in 10th place with a serious lack of power and a lack of starters. Obviously, it's too early to say I'm toast, but it's not looking pretty. But how's the rest of the writers doing? Well, believe it or not, our resident hockey puck, Andrew, is killing it in first, led by a balanced attack and a strong rotation. And here's the rest of the standings. Chris Smith is in second. T-Hole, the underwear model, is in third. Trevor's in fourth. Sky is in fifth. JB's in sixth. Joe's in seventh. The Prospect Whisperer's in eighth. J-Rong's in ninth. Chris is in 11th. And Smokey, fittingly, is huffing everyone's fumes all the way at the back. T-Hole's in third? Shit. That's all I need is more fuel for his argument that he knows what he's talking about.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them, as always, at DraftKings on Twitter. So one thing we've proven in the Friday night Play with Rudy from Razzball contest is that Rudy's pretty good. Yet, he hasn't won a damn thing yet. So congratulations on kicking his ass so far on a regular basis. Now, don't forget, we're still running the contest every Friday night. It's only $5 to get in. The beauty is this is still a big money loser for DraftKings because more than half the field at least wins back their money, if not more. And remember, they're always throwing in all kinds of great bonuses like entries into the other great contests like Spring Fling. And don't forget, the $100,000 Spring Fling starts May 17th, so you don't want to miss out on that. So if you haven't joined Razzball Nation yet in this contest, the question is why not? And you know what? If it's because you can't find it, just go to Razzball.com and in the search box, look up DraftKings, and it's going to take you to JB's most recent post, which is going to give you the link. Because again, this contest is only for Razzball Nation. And maybe the fact is you haven't dabbled yet in daily fantasy, and maybe that's what's holding you back. But take advantage of the great tools like the Streaminator and the upcoming Hittertron on Razzball.com, and that's going to give you a huge advantage over the rest of the field at DraftKings. I'm taking a quick look at the board for today's games on DraftKings. This will also give you an idea of the type of games that are there. So the big prize pool tonight is a $10,000 payoff pitch, which is $27 to enter. If you're not taking your mom out to dinner this weekend, you definitely want to, you know, spend the $27 to get in a contest like that. But, you know, if you're squeezing your nickels, there's a $1,500 moonshot, just $2 to get in. And there's also a daily dollar contest, which, guess what? It's a dollar to get in. If you want to make some quick dough and get into a really small pool, some of the games only have 6 entries, like the $270 double up. So lots of options at DraftKings.com. Remember, this is a U.S.-based company, so this is American as apple pie. We'll see you Friday night at the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. Hey, if you don't have a date with your right hand, why not join us tonight, too?
The Razzball Podcast.
It's a pleasure to be joined, as always, every week by Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Gentlemen, how are you? I'll say hello to you first, Gray.
Hey, what's going on? All right.
How you doing, Rudy?
Doing well. Not as McConaughey as Gray, but doing well.
Well, that's good. You know, I'm glad to hear you guys are so jacked up to be on the podcast this week.
I'm always jacked up.
Yeah.
I only show the head on the avatar because I don't want people to be scared by the biceps.
I have to tell you, I have been so distracted doing the podcast today because we do it at a major radio station in downtown Toronto, and there has been a parade of smoking hot woman after smoking hot woman today, and I can't do it. And we just had John Wertheim from Sports Illustrated on, and it was an amazing interview, but I'm trying to talk to the guy who probably had the story with the most hits, the Jason Collins story last week, that SI's had all year, and it's a parade of like 6-foot blondes coming through here. I don't know what to do.
Well, at least it wasn't wasted on Jason Collins.
Well played, Rudy.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Gray, did you want to talk a little bit of fantasy baseball today? You there, Gray?
Yeah, what's up, man? I'm there.
Nothing, buddy. I'm waiting for pictures of the cougar.
Oh.
I mean, obviously very generic, friendly pictures, but I still haven't seen the cougar.
I thought you did see her, actually.
Okay, I did. I was just trying to make conversation for Razzball Nation.
Oh, okay. We're making fake conversation. Sorry. My bad.
No, well, I'd actually love to post a picture of her just because it's amazing how hot she is and that she's into a dude with, you know, the curly hair and the mustache. But, you know, that's just my take on it.
It's more feathered hair.
All right, let's talk a little fantasy baseball. Rudy, Marcell Ozuna has been smoking hot since he got called up as the injury replacement for Giancarlo Stanton. Obviously, he's hot right now. Is he worth a pickup? And, I mean, what pace can he keep? I mean, obviously, he's not going to be this year's big breakout rookie, but maybe he could be. What do you think?
In shallow leagues, I think he's pretty droppable if he has any slump. I mean, I'm probably not the only one who's surprised that he's the guy that got called up. He was a top prospect for the Marlins, but they had two guys ahead of him in the queue. An ex-Blue Jay, Jake Marincek, and Christian Yelich. I don't know if the is pronounced that way, but that's what it looks like. Yelich, I guess they're taking their time with. So the thing was, Yelich and Ozuna hadn't played above A-ball starting this year. And so Ozuna came up with barely any double-A. Yelich is the better prospect, but they didn't bring him up. And Marincek's hurt. So I think he would have been the guy we would have seen. I think, based on it's like he has no track record. I mean, Miggy Cabrera did it. You know, a lot of guys get called up from double-A, but he hardly has any at-bats there. I think his power is real. And I think he's got decent speed. I don't think the average is going to be there. I think, I think any prolonged slump is going to send him down.
Gray, what do you think about power guys coming up and playing in the Crayola Canyon in Miami?
Well, I think it depends on the power guy. I think Ozuna has great power, but he's also a strikeout machine. He'll probably strike out 27 to 30% of the time. I think he's looking at a 215 to 230 type average and probably won't be around when Stanton's back. So I like him for maybe a week or two pickup, but he's not a long-term option.
All right.
Yeah. I'd add one thing. If they end up with Marcell Ozuna, Christian Yelich, and Giancarlo, that'll be the coolest first-named outfield ever.
It's like a Latin boy band.
Giancarlo. Yeah, I can go with that one.
I think that was called Menudo.
And they were huge in Miami.
Gray, you got a great question in the comment section at razzball.com this week. Why don't you tee it up for us?
Oh, yeah? What was it?
It was something about which one of these, blah, 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 blah. But I thought it would be great if you introduced it.
Oh, okay.
How does my team look, Gray?
That is a great question. Wow. Thanks, Nick. Maybe I'll just read the question myself. I was wondering what struggling but highly talented player are you least concerned about regaining their form? The list is Mike Moustakas, Jesus Montero, Eric Hosmer, Michael Pinata, Jared Parker, Josh Hamilton. Thanks. Sorry for the super long question. Actually, it wasn't that long. And I hope Nick can read this as opposed to you because your voice is so nasally and awful. Whoa!
See what I did there?
Comments can be cruel.
I set you up there.
I should have read it first. See? All right, so we'll start off with Moustakas. Actually, well, I'll do a general thing that I don't think any of them are going to get sent down to the minors. Maybe Moustakas and Hosmer with the 20% of a demotion, but it's doubtful, especially after last year with Hosmer. If they didn't send him down for that, I don't think they're sending him down this year. And then Moustakas, I doubt he gets sent down simply because he's got a decent glove, and they're winning, and they have some offense around him, so they don't really – the Royals don't need him as much as the fantasy owners need him. So I think – a chance of a demotion is very unlikely. With Pinata, no chance, really. He's just going to start in AAA once he's healthy and then work his way up to the majors. Parker, I think, is going to end up on a disgraceful list. Something looks wrong. Probably too many innings last year. He's already complaining about a sore neck. I think he'll be on the DL within a week to 15 days. And then Montero is a catcher in most leagues. He's probably on your waivers. I know he's on the waivers in our RCL league. And Hamilton is probably the most concerning because he is a guy you draft for the 35-homer, 110 RBI season. And right now it looks like he may be headed for another one of his 12-homer, 65 RBI seasons. So I'd hold tight. I wouldn't sell him as low as I think you're going to get right now, but I think you're also in dire need of Hamilton doing something, and I'm not sure he's going to.
Okay, Rudy, let me expand, or I'd like to get you to expand on a couple of those players. Let's start with Jesus Montero, because for me personally, I don't want to say that I keep thinking he's going to develop, but I feel like I'm totally wrong on Jesus Montero. I mean, am I wrong?
You know, it's a tough one. He was supposed to be just a great hitter. The doubts were in his catching.
He was supposed to be the next Cabrera, the next Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah. No, the Yanks sold that one.
Yeah, apparently.
Granted, they got Pineda for him, but I think the challenge is that as a catcher, he's not going to play more than 110, 120 games. They seem to like Chopak, and Montero's got bad defense, and he's not hitting well enough to warrant being a DH, especially on a team where you've got Morrison Morales, neither of whom you really want. And
another guy.
Damn smoke! I have no idea why that guy's still playing. But so Montero, I think you're stuck with him in AL leagues and most two catcher leagues, but otherwise, yeah, he's got to be benched. I think I would be surprised. I think he'll turn it around, but I think his challenge is that he hasn't performed well as a DH. And then when the only two places you could put him would be catcher and first base. I wouldn't be surprised if next year maybe they start talking about giving him reps at first base.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that he's going to bust. I mean, Gray, what are your thoughts? Does he have long-term potential?
Yeah, I think he needs to get out of Safeco. That's his death right now. I think the best case scenario is the Mariners send him off to a better park and he developed still into 22 to 25 homer power. I think right now he's barely ownable in those 12 team mixed leagues.
Yeah, he was the guy I busted on everywhere this year. I've got him on every team. Okay, Rudy, what's happening with the Hittertron? Because I'm really enjoying playing at DraftKings. Actually, I play on a regular basis, but I want the unfair tactical advantages because I use a Streaminator a lot. What's the status of the Hittertron?
It's going well. I'll break out some tech speak. So it's up in on our test server. That's an alpha, right?
Probably still in beta.
Beta.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
No, beta. We'll launch it in beta. we're like Google and whatnot. We launch in beta.
We're theta.
I'm feeling in a week or two we'll have that as well as a bunch of other enhancements.
So what's the ETA?
That, you know, I can't talk about right now, but we're really excited.
Okay, good stuff. Gray, what's happening with the Mustache-a-tron?
That was launched about 15 years ago in the basement of my mom's house, and it's going good right now.
All right, good stuff. Gray, let me stick with you. Do you think Strasburg is hiding an injury? Because something is not right.
Yeah.
Are you on drugs today, Gray?
You want me to expand? I'll expand. I think Strasburg is, I don't know, actually, it's pretty weird. If you look at his peripherals, because his walk rate, his velocity, ground balls, almost everything is exactly the same as last year's peripherals, but his K rate is way lower. It looks like he's throwing all the pitches at the same velocity, also at the same amount of time. I think there must be an injury or something is just missing, or maybe he's tipping his pitches. I don't know. Something is off. I'm not exactly sure. I'll be honest. I have no idea what's off, but it doesn't seem like it's not the same Strasburg as last year.
Rudy, what do you think?
In the beginning, he was talking about that he was going to pitch more to contact. I'd predict him in the preseason that this was going to be his year where he just K'd everyone. Yeah, had a Kerry Wood-like year. I mean, if you look at his last couple of games, he is striking out 7-8 guys. You prorate that over 30 games, it's 240 Ks. So he is that stuff's there. He's given up 5 homers, which seems like a lot more than a higher rate than he was given last year. You know, I'd probably veer that he isn't injured, but that doesn't mean I haven't maybe tamped down my expectations on him a bit. I think I've taken him out of the top 3.
Okay, fair enough. And we'll get to some other starting pitchers we can compare him to in a second. But first, Gray, let me ask you, why is BJ Upton such a prick with average? See what I did there?
Yeah, that's pretty good. He's an average killer. I mean, he always has been. He's a 230 guy. He's just, right now, he's at 170. I mean, it's just what you expect from BJ Upton. I don't know. He's more of an average prick right now, but a lot of people have averages that, you know, the averages go with the luck wave. So right now, he's getting a little unlucky. He's striking out a bit more because of the unluck, and then he's having more of an average concern than he's a 230, 240 average guy. That's what you're going to get over the course of the season right now. It's just a little bit worse.
Rudy, let's talk starting pitchers. Who would you rather have rest of season? You, King Felix, Kane, or Bumgarner?
I'm an awful pitcher. I could throw a pretty good curve with the wiffle ball. So I don't know why you're asking about saying should you be on a team. I'd be fourth in that list.
Okay, you, Darvish. Who could strike out 300 this year?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Darvish is the guy that replaces Strasburg for me in the top 3. Him, Verlander, Kershaw, in some order. He's striking out guys at a crazy rate. He's got his control down. He seemed to be able to correct that the middle of last year because he was great the last couple of months. And I've heard people say it's he figured out the MLB umps that he was having trouble, or they were having trouble with his stuff. So now Darvish number one there. You said Bumgarner, Kane, and who else?
Felix.
Felix. I'd say Kane last.
What about Cliff Lee?
Ooh, you got a double team. I'd probably take Cliff Lee second, Felix third, Bumgarner fourth. I don't. For whatever reason, I feel safer with Hernandez and Lee. Bumgarner, I feel like, I don't know, I keep betting against him. He keeps beating me. So, but, I mean, all...
Great, let me ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, Rudy.
No, so, yeah, I'd say those. And Kane, fifth, I mean, I think he'll turn it around. I think he just had some bad luck in everything. I just don't, you know, like, I just don't believe he could always keep bucking the odds and keep that 3 ERA. Or sub 3.
Okay, Gray, so if Strasburg is no longer in top 3, then between Verlander, Kershaw, and Darvish, how would you rank those three pitchers?
Why Strasburg is no longer a top 3?
Well, isn't that what you just said?
I just said that.
I didn't say it. That was Rudy talking.
Okay. I'm sorry, Gray. So, Gray, why don't you give me your top 3 in order?
I would say Strasburg is no longer in the top 3.
It was just principle. He didn't say it. Don't put words in his mouth.
I'd put it Verlander, Kershaw, Lee, Darvish, just because of the track record is a bit longer for Lee. I do think Darvish looks like he is going to be a top 3 pitcher this year, maybe even the best pitcher in the majors. Right now his FIP is at 1.9, which is way below his ERA, which is already at a 2.56. So, I mean, he's looking incredible, but he's actually pitching even better than he's looking.
Okay, just yes or no. Does Darvish hit 300 strikeouts, Gray?
255.
Okay, that wasn't yes or no, but Rudy, what about you? Yes or no? Does he hit 300?
No.
All right, there's still beautiful women walking into the studio. Kyle, can we work on this, please? Sweet mother of God. Okay, guys, I want one name answers out of you, please. I'm going to cycle through 12-team, 15-league, NL only, AL only. Rudy, who are you picking up in a 12-team league right now?
12-team league.
One guy.
Last guy I picked up was Steven Drew.
15-team league.
And Uehara. Pick up Uehara.
All right, what about in a 15-team league, Rudy?
Well, I mean, Uehara, if you can get him, because he's going to be the Red Sox closer for 2 weeks. You know, otherwise, my 15-team league's Jared Burton's about the best I can get. There's just not a lot out there.
All right, I'm afraid.
Hey, before we continue, the Red Sox just announced that Tozawa, if that's his name, is going to be the Red Sox closer.
So, sorry, Gray. I know you had Uehara in RCL.
Yeah, I know. I can't catch a break. Yeah, I picked up Kogi. And I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. And the RCL yesterday afternoon, just for ratio help. And then he became the closer for about 15 minutes. And now,
according to Roto.
Okay, Gray, let me ask you then. Gray, you give me an NL only guy.
NL only?
Yep.
I would say I'd probably pick up Heath Bell.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, Putz has looked terrible. So someone's going to get saved over in Arizona. Who knows?
Wouldn't it be David Hernandez?
Only, you're only dealing with so much. I think Ozuna would be a great pickup, but he's gone already in that little moment.
Yeah, I think I think they'd go to Bell before David Hernandez right now. Towers is the GM. He has a long history at San Diego with Heath Bell, so I could see them doing that. Other guy in the NL.
Talk about that Astros guy for AL only. He looks good.
Yeah, I will. But I'd say another guy for NL is Tyler Cloyd, the Philadelphia pitcher. He'll probably I think he's the favorite to get Halliday's spot.
Okay, give me the guy from the Astros that Gray teed up. Rudy, please.
Yeah, no, I like Jimmy Paredes. I was pretty disappointed they hadn't given him a shot up till now. He's kind of a spark plug guy. I think an Altuve-like guy. I don't think he'll hit for the same amount of average, but he has that kind of power, decent power, good speed combination. He's played in corner outfield spots and third base, and I feel like there's holes on both of them. And if the Astros could give it a good leadoff guy in front of Altuve, I think that'll just help that team's offense. So he's someone I picked up in my 15-team RCL. Or I'm sorry, the 15-team NFBC, the 50. He was like my 45th pick. So he's someone that I do think he could, do something like Marte did last year. It's just if he's given the chance, and I don't see why they wouldn't try him out versus a bunch of their scrubs. They cleaned out two of them with Fernando Martinez and Rick Ankiel.
Okay, speaking of Marte Gray, is he for real?
Yeah, I liked Marte a lot coming into the year. I think he is for real. He has good light power and solid speed. He could be a real cheap Victorino type.
So is that the comp, Victorino?
Yeah, I'd say 12 homer, 30 steals is the probably ceiling, but there's a good possibility for it.
Okay, and then Rudy, would you rather have Jennings or Marte? Who are you taking?
Yeah, in our preseason player rater, at least mine, Jennings and Marte were really close. It was almost like Jennings had a much higher ADP, but they converged in the middle. I'd probably go Jennings a little bit right now. I think his power is more sustainable. He can get to 20 homers. He hits more fly balls than Marte. So you're going to trade off average. I think Jennings is like a 250-ish hitter, and Marte more 270. But I'd rather take the power, and I think speed they're about equal.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, guys, just before we wrap up, Gray, can you let the Cougar know that I think my wedding invitation to your wedding got lost in the mail? Maybe crossing the border.
Don't start with the wedding stuff. We had shower number two this weekend.
Hey, I thought we were going to run a contest that one of the Razzball writers was going to win an invite to your wedding.
Yeah, we should. It'll be just one more chair out of 400.
I could see Jack full of hate or Prezi getting up and making a toast.
I'm already planning.
Have I told you yet that Cougar lost the engagement ring?
Did she really?
Yeah, she took it off in the at the gym in the locker room because she didn't want to get it dirty when she was washing her hands.
Oh, that's interesting. She told me when she went to the nightclub with all her girlfriends, she took it. Oh shit! I wasn't supposed to tell you that part. Sorry.
The world's hardest mineral. She was afraid of getting soap and water on.
Gray and Rudy, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week on the Razzball Baseball Podcast.